Y'all doing okay tonight?
Yes, sir.
You seem kind of dead. Amen. It's okay to be honest, ain't it? Amen. Y'all just look tired and beat up and weary. Maybe everybody's had the same kind of day I have. Right. Maybe you'll just stop and pause for a minute. Amen. Yeah, I'm on now. I can tell it. Amen. Might ought to back it down just a fuzz. We might destroy somebody's eardrums or something. But listen, man, God is good, ain't he?
Yeah.
Acts chapter number 4, I want us to look at verse number 29. Say amen if you're there.
Amen.
Acts chapter number 4 and verse number 29, the Bible said, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. The Bible said they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. We picked for our theme this year, our calendar, Making a Difference. Several weeks ago, I started a little series of messages, and I'm just going to ride this thing out however far the Lord takes us. That's how far we'll go. But we started on the first message and we talked about how relationships make a difference.
Yeah.
Relationships make a difference. Listen, there's no way to get involved in the church and really be active in the church without developing human relationship. And there's no way for those relationships to work without first we have a real relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's more than just a Savior and a sinner. It's a relationship. He's my Father. If somebody asked Levi, I say, "What's your relation?" He and I were at Best Buy today, and I was doing something else. He was talking with a salesman, and he said something about his dad, and the salesman said, "I cannot believe that's your dad. That guy looks too young to be your dad." I just had to work that into the sermon somehow. Amen. So that guy looks way too young to be your dad. I said, "That's exactly right." Amen. But anyway, my relationship to my son is my dad. When I got saved, I received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, "Abba, Father." I have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we talked about last week how caring makes a difference. This world doesn't care how much you know till they know how much you care. Some people try to impress you with how much they know. You don't have to talk to me very long to find out I don't know a whole lot. Amen. But I do know Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Thank God. Caring makes a difference. You can't make a difference in people's lives without caring for people. Now tonight, at looking at the scripture that we just looked at, I want to focus on this thought tonight. The Holy Spirit-filled life, or the Spirit-filled life, makes a difference. The Spirit-filled life makes a difference. Back up to verse number 7. Now, last week we talked about Peter and John as they walked into the gate called Beautiful, and the guy was laying there begging for money, and he asked alms, and Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. Take up thy bed and walk." And the guy went walking and leaping and praising God. Y'all remember that? Well, you know what that did to the religious crowd? It tore them up. Amen. We are just picking up basically where we left off. This is the results of what happened in chapter number 3. That religious crowd didn't like it when the Holy Ghost moved in and the power of God showed up. Amen. You know what it does? It upsets their program. Amen. It upsets their program and they don't like it. I ask a question. I told you to look at verse number 7, didn't I? I forgot. The Bible said when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what," say it with me, "by what power or by what name have you done this?" Or have you done this? By what name or by what power have you done this? In other words, they realized some kind of power put life in that guy's legs that had never walked a day in his life. Something outside of humanity or something outside the natural caused that man to get up and walk. It was a supernatural thing. And they said, "By what name and by what power?" Well, we know as God's children, it was by the name of the Son of God, and it was by the power of the Holy Ghost of God. I mentioned this the other day. I won't belabor it long, but we are living in a day when people are training people to worship and serve God in the flesh because there ain't no spirit in them. I was with a guy, I believe it was in New York this past week, and somebody told me they had went to a church with a friend, and it was a contemporary super church, non-denominational rock and roll band, the whole nine yards, and said at the end of the service, said, just for the fun of things, we're going to take requests. And they were singing Katy Perry songs and Justin Bieber songs and all this kind of stuff. Man, you tell me where the Spirit of God is in that. Tell me where the Spirit of God, who sang that song, I Kissed a Girl and I Liked It? That's what I thought. Same girl that sang, I Kissed a Girl and I Like It. They're singing her songs in church and calling that praise and worship. Hey, listen, man, I have no problem identifying with that crowd because I used to be one of that crowd. I remember my wife and I sitting fifth row at Bob Seger with a little big lighter lit. I got that old time rock and roll, waving that lighter back and forth. I remember that as a lost young man. I remember going to see Journey and REO Speed Wagon and AC/DC and Lynyrd Skynyrd and all that crowd. And you know what? The same spirit that was in that concert is in those churches. They're worshiping, but they're worshiping in the flesh. Amen. Sometimes I look at people in church and Brother Todd was playing. Wasn't you playing Come Thou Fount a while ago? Brother Todd was coming Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. He was playing that. And boy, it began to stir something inside of me. Not only did I know the music, but I knew the words. But sometimes I watch as we sing It's Well With My Soul or Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. And people sit there with a blank stare on their face and it doesn't move you and it doesn't stir you. Something's wrong. What that's telling me is that spiritual song is not bearing witness with your carnal spirit. Amen. That's why people want a new Bible, because they don't understand this one. They can't understand this because they're not spiritual, so they can get one that they can understand that is carnal. Amen. I can relate to a Bible in my flesh that has cuss words in it. I could pick out certain verses of the NIV and have any lady in this church stand and ask you to read the verse out loud, and you wouldn't do it because it's absolutely vulgar. It's what we call cussing, or if you're up north, cursing. Amen. It's foul language. Amen. Why is that appealing? It would appeal to a lost man. That kind of language would appeal to a lost man. Listen, where we got to get to be in our church. Hey, listen, the Holy Ghost is a word that scares Baptists to death anymore. But let me tell you something. We were filled with the Spirit of God and we were shouting in the presence of God long before there ever was a Pentecostal or a charismatic or a non-denominational. I will never apologize for the shouting around here. I won't apologize for Brother Tommy running laps around the building. I won't apologize for Miss Gina getting excited and shouting, or Miss Edwina or anybody else that just wants to give God some glory. Hey, the Bible said, be not drunk with wine in Ephesians chapter 5, but where is it? Wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. We have so much church trouble and have to deal with so many carnal things. Carnal, that means fleshly or worldly. Amen. We have to deal with all those things because we're not Spirit-filled Christians. You don't have the kind of petty trouble out of Spirit-filled people that you have out of carnal people. Spirit-filled people don't get their feelings hurt. Not quite as easy. Spirit-filled people don't gossip on Facebook. Amen. Let me say it again. Spirit-filled people don't gossip on Facebook. Levi and I were working in the sound booth yesterday, and we wound up making, tell me if I'm wrong, I don't even know where he went. Tell me if I'm wrong, I think 3 trips to Douglasville, is that right? By about the 3rd trip, I didn't even want to go and get the part we needed. I just wanted to go meet the guy who sold it to me. Levi said, Daddy, I'm going to have to bail you out of jail before we get home. That was not the Spirit of God. That was my flesh had it about up to here. And I actually made the statement, when we leave, I want carpet burns on that guy's face. I mean, that's how I was feeling. I want to just rub his face in the floor and say, I was in the flesh. Mama says it's okay if after you do it, you just say, bless him, Lord. Amen. Listen, we want to get our church to where we recognize spiritual things. The Bible said speaking unto yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We shouldn't need a jungle thump to stir us. Yeah. We shouldn't need that. We shouldn't need that to, I like that. We shouldn't need a boot scooting boogie to do something down in our soul. Our spirit, if we're spirit filled, it ought to bear witness with Come Thou Fountain, or My Savior's Love, or Amazing Grace, or Our Love Lifted Me, or any of those old songs that we sing over and over and over.
Yeah. Amen.
Somebody said, well, you sing them so much, they just don't mean the same. Really? Really? Let me say that again. Really? I guarantee you if I had a CD and I don't, I could crank this sound system up and it will vibrate this building.
Amen.
I could crank it up about warp 9, we used to call it. Put some old honk in there on a CD. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about Sweet Home Alabama. And we'd see some people stirred that ain't been stirred in a long time. Y'all all right? We could throw back with a little, give me the beat, boys, to free my soul. I want to get lost. And people say, yeah. That flesh would jump right in there. But something's wrong when we bear witness with that and we don't bear witness with that. Are we okay? Being spirit-filled makes the difference. Many people have come through this church and we don't have the things to offer that a lot of churches do. We don't have the spit and the polish. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure I want that.
Amen.
I'd rather be a common church for common people than I had a highfalutin church for highfalutin people.
Amen.
What I'm trying to say is ain't going to be no round mouth singing around here. Ooh, that ain't happening. You know why? Because that ain't who we are. Amen. If we were from Cincinnati or Rochester, New York, or Bangor, Maine, that's probably the way we'd sing because that'd be our culture. But we're Southern.
Yeah.
Southern people gonna sing Southern. Amen.
Amen.
And if you ain't, you faking.
Right.
Don't die on me now.
Amen.
Amen. But listen, people come in our church and maybe they don't see all the fanfare and the highfalutin stuff, but they sense something in this place that's real. I had a young missionary lady going to Mexico, wrote me a note. I know what Bible college she came out of, and I know what she's used to. And she wrote me a little thank you card before I left New York. And to be honest with you, I hadn't read it till today. I just opened it up and read through it. And basically what she was saying was, thank you for not trying to impress us. Thank you for just being real. You know what people are looking for in this world? They're not looking for a show. They're not looking for a concert. They're not looking for a place you walk into and they hand you earplugs when you walk in. My daughter's sitting in a sound booth, one of her friends I think she works with, is that right? Lady she works with visited the church and their little small children were not even allowed in the sanctuary because they said it's too loud for them. Something's wrong with that stuff, man. We can't be a whole lot, but we can be real. We can be who we are, and we can beg God to fill us and spill us every time we walk into this place. Amen. Brother Todd sent me two pictures the other day. One is a picture of a Justin Bieber concert. The other is a picture of a church service. You can't tell the two apart. It says at the bottom of the two pictures, guess which one's a Bieber concert? They look the same. Truth be known, they sound the same. The reason being is those churches are trying to appeal to the flesh. Now, I'll be honest with you, I'm sure it's fun. I'm sure it is. I'm sure there's a part of you, there's a part of me that would enjoy it. But it doesn't make it spiritual. Just because something sounds good doesn't mean it's right.
Amen.
It doesn't mean that it's feeding your spirit.
Right.
Amen. There's certain things that your spirit will not digest.
Right.
Now your flesh will take it all day long.
Yeah.
And you're feeding one to the other. You're feeding that spirit or you're feeding that flesh.
Amen.
The Spirit-filled life makes a difference. I already quoted Ephesians 5:18, where the Bible said, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit." That it's not just the preacher that should be Spirit-filled. It's not just the choir and the piano player and the specials that should be filled. We ought to be filled from the balcony to the back wall, in the pulpit, and everywhere in between. Do you know what? If I'm Spirit-filled and I'm preaching in the Spirit and you're Spirit-filled, you're not going to leave and say, "I didn't get anything out of that." You're not going to leave and say, "I just didn't get anything out of that."
Amen.
Amen. Went to a Japanese steakhouse one time. Anybody been to a Japanese steakhouse? I ain't got nothing against it. I just leave hungry. I mean, boy, you watch all that and they flip the shrimp in your mouth. You better flip a dozen back here, Jack. One shrimp ain't gonna cut it, man. You better keep flipping. Flip, 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 flip. I'll catch them all. I'm like a seal at SeaWorld. Or, flip them. Come on. Amen. It's a lot of fun to go watch, but I leave hungry. Brother, if you leave here hungry, it's your fault. If you leave here without something to think about, without something to stew on, without something to study about, and without something to apply to your own life, chances are you came in full already. Somebody said, "Well, we're kind of looking for another church. We're just not really being fed where we're at." Well, tell me what your appetite is.
Yeah, that's right.
There's a guy called me this past week. Never met him in my life. Just returned his call today and talked to him a little bit. Wants to talk a little bit tomorrow. He's moving to Georgia from New York, just outside of New York City. Don't know who the guy is. I don't know nothing about it. Found me on the internet. Started listening. He said, I'm making up my mind where I moved according to the church. Well, that's a change.
Yeah. Wow.
Most people are moving according to the job. He's moving according to the church and let the job come in second.
Yeah.
Had about a grocery list of questions for me. I hate it when they do that because I'm scared to death I ain't going to know something. Amen. I'll make up something anyway. But boy, he liked what he heard. He said, "I'll be honest with you. I don't even want to know anything about your doctrine." He said, "I've heard enough of your preaching." I took that as a compliment. There is enough in the preaching came out about what we believe, amen, about this book, about our Savior, that He already knows where we stand. Amen. That says something, man. If you listen to a guy preach for 3 or 4 sermons and you ain't got a good idea of what stripe he is, something's wrong. Amen. So much preaching today and so much teaching today is trying to fit everybody's little lifestyle. Amen. Joel Osteen won't say sin, won't say homosexual. Y'all don't die on me. Why? He wants everybody to feel good. I don't want everybody to feel good.
Amen.
If there's a drunk in here, I want him to feel bad about his sin. If there's an adulterer in here, I want to feel bad about adultery, or him to feel bad about adultery. If there's a pothead, I want him to say, "Man, maybe I ought not be smoking dope." Are you listening? You okay? Maybe. You want some tater chips? I'm kidding. Brother Freddie said that wasn't in the spirit. Amen. I love you, sis. She's, whoo. Look at chapter 4. I better get these points right quick. That's bad when you get in the flesh, preaching about being in the flesh, ain't it? Amen. Amen. Listen, I want to point out, first of all, the priority of being Spirit-filled. The priority of being Spirit-filled. Now, remember back there in chapter number 3 when Peter looked at that guy laying at the gate. Remember what he said? "Silver and gold have I none." Monetary things I don't have. But what I have, I'll let you have.
Yes, sir.
But such as I have, give I thee. What was it that he had? It was something that he was endued with in that upper room before they hit the streets of preaching. It was that cloven tongue of fire. It was that power of the Holy Spirit that caused life to come in lifeless legs and to walk again. Listen, we are not going to do anything outside the Spirit of God. Do you understand that? We can preach, but nobody's coming.
That's right. Amen. Yeah.
It's my job to tell them. It's God's job to turn them. I always talk, when I'm talking about being filled with the Holy Ghost, I always use the analogy of buying a brand new Z71 pickup truck. A 2014 Z71, help me, Brother Bo, say amen right there. That brand new pickup truck, but it's got like, it looks almost like an iPad on the dash. That is the coolest thing, touch screen. I mean, boy, them trucks has got heated air-conditioned seats. They've got it all, man. You know, having a brand new truck with every option and no gas, all you can do is toot your horn and flash your lights. And we got a lot of horn tooting and light flashing going on. Ain't going nowhere. Amen. We can know how. We can. Hey, brothers, you know what they do in Bible school? They teach people how to preach. I preached in a Bible college chapel one time, and after the preaching service, I went to the preacher class. And the boys got up and preached, and the pastor that where the Bible college was, he critiqued them when they got done preaching. And boy, he went through student number one and student number two. I was feeling sorry for them boys. Oh, my soul. But in my mind, I was praying to God, oh, don't let him ask me, don't let him ask me. I mean, he got on them for putting their hands in their pocket. He got on them, I mean, for everything under the world. I said, man, I just have to sit on the pew and let somebody else do it. Yeah. Amen. Preaching is something that cannot be taught. It's something that must be called. Amen. Yeah. The priority of being filled with the Spirit. Look at chapter 4 and verse number 8. The Bible said, then Peter, filled with the what?
Holy Ghost.
Filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel. And we won't read on and on and on and on, but I want you to notice that the Holy Spirit is our spirit of promise. The Lord promised us in John chapter number 16. Turn over there right quick. John chapter number 16. Most of you know this scripture. John chapter number 16 and verse number 7. Jesus said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. I love every time you see that relationship to the Holy Spirit of God. It's always him. It's never an it. He is a person. Amen. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. They're three, but they're one. And it's not God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, I don't understand that. I don't either, but I believe it. Yeah. Amen. They are three, but they're one. Right. Amen. We see them several times in the Bible showing up all three together at the same time at the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus in the river, the Spirit of God descending like a dove, the voice of the Father from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. They are three, but they all are one. Amen. Thank God for the Spirit of God that the Lord promised us. I'm glad when we got saved, we wasn't left to lead this thing alone. By the way, you wouldn't get saved without the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God that convicts you of sin. Your flesh sure didn't convict you of sin. Somebody said, let your conscience be your guide. No, 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 no. My conscience said, kill that guy at Best Buy. If I let my conscience be my guide, I'd be down yonder in the pokey tonight. Amen. Awaiting murder trial over a computer part. Amen. How silly is that? Don't let your conscience be your guide. You better trust the Spirit of the Lord and let Him be your guide. God promised us the person of the Holy Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit of God. He promised us that. Look at Acts chapter number 1. Acts chapter number 1. Pretty elementary stuff, I know. But if it's so elementary, why do we act so carnal? Acts chapter 1 and verse number 4. The Bible said, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but what? But wait for the promise of the Father. What was the promise? We just read it. We just read it in John chapter number 15. Amen. Amen. Which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days since. Thank God we have the promise of the Holy Spirit. Look at Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. The Holy Spirit is our promise, but not only that, the Holy Spirit is our power. Watch verse number 8. But ye shall receive what? You shall receive what?
Power.
Bible said we not received again the spirit of bondage to fear. Amen. Thank God for that. I'm glad we don't have the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Thank God for the power of God that transforms our life. Jason didn't get off crack or meth by himself. It's the power of God. Amen. Amen. He's not leading other people away from it through his flesh. It's the power of God that transforms a life. We've got people's lives who have been drastically changed. We got people who are sitting in church tonight. I'd have to point them out to you to tell you who used to be in jail. But they're sitting in the house of God tonight. You know what that is? That is the power of God. We have the promise of the Spirit, and the Spirit of God is the power of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We're living in a day of a powerless church.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. I like what Brother Ken Bowman said in camp meeting. He said he's realized that gas is just too high to be driving to a dead church.
Amen.
What is a dead church? It's a church where there is no Spirit. It's a church where there is no Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. It's the Spirit of God that made you alive again.
Yes,
amen. It's the Spirit of God that moved inside you and made you alive again. There are people in this room right now who just in this past year and a half, maybe 2 years, for the first time in their entire life, realize, man, I've got life. I've got something to live for. You know what that was? It's the power of the Holy Ghost of God.
Amen.
Amen. Looking at old Carl sitting back there, homeless, hooked on drugs. Own family wouldn't let him in the door. There he sits.
Amen.
Clean shaven, got his glasses down on his nose, looked like he knows something. You ain't fooling us, brother. Amen. Amen. God just changed his life. Look at Sister Maureen. I look at Brother Jason, and on and on and on and on and on. We could go throughout the whole building of lives that have been transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
You say, boy, Happy Valley changed my life. No, Happy Valley ain't never changed. No, we changed a few diapers back yonder. That'd be about as far as it goes. But if we get to the place we think we're changing lives, we better back up. Because it's not us, it's the power of God in us. Amen. Somebody cornered me up yesterday and said, boy, what is going on? All these supposedly Christians messing up and falling into sin and doing this and doing that. I said, man, it didn't just start happening today. It's been happening forever and ever and ever and ever, as far back as you can go. It just seems like it comes in waves. I get so sick of hearing, did you hear? Did you hear? Did you hear? I don't want to hear about another one. But what it is, it's God's people walking in the flesh, pretending to be filled with the Spirit, and it doesn't take long that thing comes to a head. Now I'm telling you, there is a priority of being Spirit filled. Boy, we ought to stop somewhere every day and ask God for His power.
Amen.
Amen. Ask God for His Spirit to fill us. I don't have to beg for the filling of the flesh, do you? That comes all by itself. I have to fight that thing day in and day out. And the only way I can fight that is for the Spirit of God in me to be bigger than the spirit of man. Amen. Somebody said, how do you know which one's the biggest? Which one you feed the most. Whichever one you feed the most is the bigger in your life. Amen. The priority of the Spirit. Listen, we need the Spirit of God in this place. Not just in this place, but in our lives. If it's not in our lives on Friday, it ain't going to be in our lives on Sunday. Amen. If you're a Sunday morning Christian and that's all you are, you could fill a thimble with your Holy Ghost. Amen. We don't just need to preach it and sing it on Sunday. We need to live it on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. We need to beg God for His filling every single day.
Amen.
Lady asked me one time, I would tell you what church she went to, but it's real close. Charismatic church, real close. She said, you ever got the Holy Ghost? I said, no, ma'am, but one day He got me. Amen. One day He got me. I thank God the Holy Ghost got a hold of me. I remember reading about Savonarola, old-time preacher back years and years ago, was supposed to preach a big meeting somewhere, and there were thousands of people there to hear the man preach, and he sat down on the platform and refused to move for 5 hours. Just sat there. Just sat there. Waiting on the unction of the Holy Spirit. Refused to move till he felt God's power on his life. And what was amazing, they said nobody left. If I just sat down up here on this chair for 5 hours, it wouldn't take 5 hours. It probably wouldn't take 45 minutes. Brother Tommy would be back there with that thing pumping up on my arm, seeing if I had a pulse or not. And, amen. People be going, is he crazy? Has he lost it? Something wrong with him? That's what they thought about these guys. Something was wrong with them. You get filled with the Spirit of God, people start thinking you're strange and start thinking you're spooky and weird. Amen. I ain't trying to make the Holy Ghost spooky. He ain't spooky. He's sweet. Amen. But we need to put a priority on that. We need to pray every week, God, fill my preacher. Lord, God, fill my preacher. Lord, give us the power of God as we stand up in this choir. Who cares if everybody's on the exact right key? All that performance stuff makes me want to vomit. Amen. Brother Charles and Brother Freddie and myself, we went a while back to hear a good friend of mine preach, and really that's the only reason we went. We went to hear this certain guy preach. But before he preached, this group got up to sing. And if I name their names, it's one of y'all, it's one of your favorite groups. And they got up to sing. Made me want to vomit. Boy, it got quiet again. I'm talking about way up there in the Dove Awards, big Southern gospel group, famous. And boy, they had their whole little choreography thing. They'd turn and look at each other at the same time. One of the boys looked about half effeminate, three quarters maybe. I'm serious, heart attack. They had their little soundtracks and all that, and they sang, and everybody, yay. Listen, there's two kinds of music. One kind of music makes you want to go, yay, woo. But there's another kind of music that makes you want to lift your hands.
Amen.
One kind of music draws your attention to what's going on up here. There's another kind of music that draws your attention to what's going on up there.
Amen.
We need to put a priority on the Spirit of God.
Yes,
we need Him.
Amen.
We need Him.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. I don't want to say too much here. I will before it's over with anyway. At the end of that service, during the altar call, they called them back, and instead of playing them soundtracks, and I know there's good soundtracks, but not many, somebody said, why don't you allow people to sing with tracks? Because I ain't got time to preview all of them.
Yeah.
Amen. Because we got Brother Todd.
Amen.
He's our track.
Amen.
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 He's our canned music. Amen. They came back to the piano, and they didn't sing no tracks. That old boy just started, no drums, no guitars, just that old piano. And I'm not against guitars, y'all know that. He came back to that piano and they started playing and they started singing a song and God got in that thing and the altar filled up. Woo! They started singing, Nail It to the Cross. I gave it away, didn't I? They started singing, Nail It to the Cross. Oh boy, and people started coming and nailing it to the cross. And you could see such a difference between same people. The exact same people, the exact same group. But something changed. Something changed. They went from performance to worship. And I'd say there's a place and time for entertainment. The right kind of entertainment. But church ain't it. We're not here to entertain. We're here to draw people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And to do that, we need the Spirit of God. It is priority. I'll be honest with you, I would rather have the Spirit and the power of God on a mediocre sermon than to have the best outline in the whole world that people pay $15 for on the internet and do it without the Lord. Amen. Man, you can get up and preach. I watched some time ago. I may never finish this tonight. I watched some time ago on, it was a class, something classic. Maybe it was Billy Graham Classics. It was Billy Graham way back yonder in the 60s. He was a young man, Brother Charles. And they were in some big football or baseball stadium somewhere. And I watched that guy. Boy, this was back when he had a King James Bible. I said this was back when he had a King James Bible. What was the old guy's name? George Beverly Shea got up before he preached and sang How Great Thou Art. Woo, I'm telling you, boy, you can feel the Spirit of God on that thing in the TV. Amen. And old Dr. Graham got up there, boy, and he began to preach. He turned to Ephesians chapter 2, read Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8 and 9, and started talking about the gift of God. He didn't have great illustration. He didn't have an alliterated outline. All his little points didn't start the same. He didn't have a poem. I mean, it was as simple a preaching as one of our little guys do on New Year's Eve.
Amen.
And they panned that camera across the screen, and people were weeping. Thousands were saved. It wasn't the greatness of the message. It was the greatness of the messenger. And we're not talking about Dr. Graham. We're talking about Dr. Holy Ghost. God can use the simplest things. God can take something. He used the simple, he said, to confound the wise. Amen. You must be born again. You must be born again. Boy, I'm telling you, we can preach those simple messages to sinners and they still work. But we can't do it outside the Spirit and the power of God. Amen? The priority of being filled with the Spirit. Now I want you to notice the pathway to being filled with the Spirit. The pathway of being filled with the Spirit. Look at back to Acts chapter number 4. Back to Acts chapter number 4. Verse number 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had, say it with me,
been
with Jesus. They took knowledge of them, unlearned, ignorant men, fishermen. These weren't Bible college graduates. They didn't have PhDs. They didn't call him Dr. Peter and Dr. John. I don't like that. If I had a doctorate, I'd punch you if you called me that. I don't like it. I'd rather be called a janitor. We clean up the messes the doctors make. Amen? Ignorant and unlearned men. The Bible said they perceived that they'd been with God. They perceive, you want to know how to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God? There is no better way. Hey, you ain't going to get it sitting in the classroom. Nothing wrong with the classroom. Hey, you ain't going to get it just sitting in church. Man, you're going to have to spend time with God on your own.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. I want to be Spirit filled, but I'm not going to be Spirit filled just by hanging out with Brother Charles.
Amen.
Brother Charles is one of the most spiritual men I know. And it might influence me to strive for more of what he has.
Yeah.
I always talk about rubbing his head and hoping some of it rubs off. That ain't going to work.
Amen.
That's funny to talk about, but there is a path to being Spirit filled, and that's getting alone somewhere with God. Hey, you got to have your own prayer time.
Yeah.
Amen. John chapter number 15, verse number 5, I believe he just said, let him ask. Let him ask. You want to be filled with the power of God? Ask for it. I believe a lot of people don't ask because they're afraid of what it'll bring. I've heard people make the statement, I was afraid to even pray because I knew already what I was supposed to do. We got people sitting in this church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, and most Wednesday nights who are miserable because they know in their heart what they're supposed to be doing. They know in their heart they won't even spend time with God. Instead of doing what God wants them to do, they've gotten away from God just to escape it. How stupid is that? How stupid is being miserable on purpose? I ran from the call of God for 55 years. You're an idiot. You're a stark, raving lunatic, man. Running to God was the best thing I ever did. Surrendering my life to God was the best thing I ever did. I never knew joy and fullness and happiness until I said, okay, God, here I am. Whatever you want.
Amen.
Amen. I know everybody thinks before they're surrender to preach or surrender to do some great work for God that everybody tells them you're supposed to run for a while. That ain't in the book. I found out early on, running winds up in a fish's belly. Running always winds up in misery. Jonah could have went to Nineveh without puke in his hair. He could have went to Nineveh not smelling like fish guts. He's a sailor. I'm sure he had on Old Spice. He could have went smelling pretty nice. Amen. But instead, I'm sure he smelled pretty funky.
Yeah.
Amen. He just got puked up on the beach, buddy. Let's don't be whale puke. Let's surrender, man. Let's just go ahead and give in to God.
Amen.
If you just got saved, just recently, born again, ain't even gotten baptized yet, you ought to do like old Paul did on the road to Damascus when he met the Lord. Lord, what will thou have me to do?
Yeah.
Okay, God, here I am. What's next?
Yeah.
All right, I got saved. I'm part of the body of Christ. What do I do next? Lord said, I want you to get baptized. Okay, I got baptized. What do I do next? Where do we go from here? Which Sunday school class do I go to? Which bus do you want me to ride? Which door do you want me to knock on? God, what is it you want me to do?
Amen.
Amen. Don't run from God. Surrender to Him.
Amen.
The pathway to being filled with the Spirit is simply spending time with God. Now, how do we do that? How do we spend time with God? Do we sit cross-legged and do all this? No. It's not a bunch of meditation. Amen. He's not something you got to summons up.
Amen.
I'm going to show you how you spend time with God.
Yeah.
I hear this statement all the time, and please don't fall out with me. I read very little into it, or I don't put much confidence into it at all. When people say, the Lord spoke to my heart. The Lord spoke to my heart about this. The Lord spoke to my heart about that. Tell me how He did it.
Yeah.
A lot of times I feel like the Lord speaks to my heart in major areas. You know what I do next? I pray.
Amen.
Lord God, if it's you, back it up, sir.
Yeah.
Show me, Father, what? Show me from your word, God.
Amen.
You want God to speak to you? Open this old book right here.
Yeah.
He left you a letter. If some of your phones buzzed right now, you'd break your neck digging it out of your purse, see who's texting you.
You're right, brother. Absolutely.
I'm going to do it one of these days. I've been threatening one night just out of the blue, I'm going to have every light in this place come cut off. And we're not even going to know what happened because all the iPhones will illuminate the room. Amen. Chase, you just started working in the sound booth tonight. You're about to learn something about your church, brother. You're going to learn how sorry these people are. Amen. Brother James says, man, if I had a BB gun, I'd shoot people. Get you a Red Ryder. That'd be part of the sound equipment up there. You catch them texting, shoot them, brother. Unless it's my wife, I got to go home with her. Seriously. Man, we ought to open this book. God sent you a text. And you ain't picked it up since Sunday. Amen. But the pathway to being filled with the Spirit is to spend time with God. There's only two ways to really, 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 really do that personally. One-on-one. That's in this book and on your knees. That's in this book and on your knees. Man, right after I got saved, my wife bought me an old Scofield Bible. I still got it at home. I still look at it all the time. Boy, it's just precious memories. Those pages, those verses that are highlighted. Sometimes I'll go through there, Brother Freddie, and I remember when I see them why I highlighted that verse.
Yeah.
And what God showed me all those years ago, some 30 years ago, what God showed me out of that verse, it just comes, floods back to my mind. It's precious.
Amen.
But I remember getting that Bible, and I've always been a rebellious. I guess that's the best word. I didn't want to believe everything just because that's what White Oak Springs said.
Amen.
I'll be honest with you. I got saved, but I got it all. I got in. But when I got saved, I started watching that stuff on TV, and I thought, ooh, boy, if that's real, I'd like to do it. I'd ride down the road, practice speaking in tongues. God, if that's real, let me do it. Yeah. If I really can lay my hand on somebody and heal them of their disease, I want it. I don't care what the Baptists say. I started digging in that book by myself. Lord, if I'm really eternally saved, show me through your word.
Yeah, amen.
I found that scripture. It said, I sealed under the day of redemption.
Yeah,
woo. I read about how I'm in my Father's hand. No man can pluck me out. I read those things for myself.
Yeah. Amen.
The only way to be Spirit-filled, you're going to have to spend time with God yourself.
Amen.
Well, the preacher's not feeding me. Are you feeding yourself?
Yeah.
I guarantee you're eating physically. Amen. Guarantee you, you've ate since Sunday. You fed your body since Sunday. You might ought to feed your spirit since Sunday. Amen. This afternoon, I thought Brother Houston would be here tonight. He took that trip to Dominican Republic and went up there. I saw some Latours. Where there she is right there. Went in Dominican Republic, ain't I right? The Haitian people, that's what I'm trying to say. He went with the missionary and preached to them Haitian people out there. And he gave me a video, and I promised I'd watch it, and I forgot till today. And I thought, boy, he's going to be at church, and I ain't watched that video. And he's going to say, did you watch that video? And I'm going to go, And so anyway, I stuck that video in. And boy, I began to watch. You know what that did? Boy, it spoke to my heart. I mean, it spoke to my heart. Listen, man, what I'm trying to say is the pathway to being filled with the Spirit of God is to be connected with God. Psalm 66. I got to hurry. I've said a whole bunch I wasn't supposed to. Psalm 66. The pathway to being filled is to have a connection with God. Some of you ain't going to like this one. But if you're going to be filled with God and connected to God, you're going to have to stay confessed to God. Y'all all right with that? I heard a guy out of Tennessee one time on a tape. Somebody had given me. Had some friends of mine got caught up in that junk. There's a preacher up there, and he got a big following. And he preached about how all your sins is forgiven, past, present, and future, and you didn't need to confess your sins no more. No wonder it had a big following. Boy, got some people's lives really messed up. One boy I know, a boy I know from Maryland, blew his brains out. Boy, that stuff will mess you up. Psalms chapter number 66, we better confess our sin. Psalms chapter 66, look at verse number 18. The Bible said, if I regard iniquity, y'all know what iniquity is? It's sin. In my heart, the Lord will not hear me. That ought to be good enough for all of us. How many of you need a prayer answered from time to time? How about daily? You got needs in your life and you need to talk to God. He said, if I hang on to the sin in my heart, God won't even hear me. Have you ever been so mad at somebody and they try to talk to you? I never have, but my wife has. She gets so mad at me and I try to talk to her and she ain't listening to nothing I got to say. Not till I get that thing right. You ever ask your wife, honey, what's wrong? Nothing. And then all of a sudden she tells the truth. You know exactly what's wrong. And probably deep down you do. But sometimes, guys, we're innocent, right? We don't know. We ain't got a clue. But the majority of the time we know what we did. Amen. And you know what it is between you and God. You know exactly what it is. You know exactly what it is you're holding on to. We need to be connected to God, but to stay connected, I don't mean staying saved. I mean keeping the prayer lines open. No blockage between me and Him. We've got to fess up. Amen. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that still in the Bible? Amen. But we ought to have a time of confession. How many of you start your prayer time with confession? How many of you start your prayer time with confession? That's where mine starts every time. When I begin to pray, the first thing out of my mouth is, oh God, I pray you forgive me of this. Lord, forgive me of that. God, forgive me for this spirit I've had. God, forgive me for this thought. Forgive me this deed, God. I even pray and ask God to forgive me of things I don't even know I've done. God, if there be anything I'm unaware of, God, reveal it to me. Help me to get it clean. Help me to get it right. Amen. Why? I need the power of God. It never fails. Every Sunday morning before I walk out of my office, I have to have a few minutes, just me and God. You say, why do you wait till then? Why don't you do it before you get home? Because I'll sin between then and the pulpit. Somebody will make me mad. Yeah. Somebody will come dump a bunch of junk on me that I don't need to hear right before I got to preach. And y'all think that's vital, that I have to know something right before I preach. So the last thing I do before I walk from my office to this sanctuary every Sunday morning, I make sure me and God's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen? Is that all right? You ought to do that before you teach your Sunday school class. You ought to do that before you get on your bus. You know what will help you to have a better spirit with them kids?
Yeah.
You ever had a Sunday you wanted to kill one up? Come on. Ain't hardly no visitors here tonight. It's all right. You ever want to choke one up?
Yeah.
Amen. I have. I ain't even on the bus, and I want to choke some of them. That girl stood out there and cussed me that day. I wanted to bust her chops, man. She's all up in my face. Like, you ain't going to do nothing. Bobbling that head. I wanted to bobble it. Amen. I ain't scared to hit a woman. Amen. I was about ready to knock that one out, son. You cuss me, you fair game. Amen. Come on, talk to me. I really had to get right before I preached that day. They come got me out of sanctuary. Brother, you're going to have to come. Thank you. Why didn't you hit her? Amen. No, I'm kidding. We had to call law. Come get that girl. Boy, are you listening? Boy, between that gym and back into this sanctuary, oh, God, boy, we had serious talk.
Amen.
Amen. We need to stay connected with God. We need to confess to God, and we need to continually call on God. We need to continually call on God, and then we need to continue with God. The Bible said, and they continued, and they continued. That means to keep on, keeping on, keeping on, keeping on, keeping on. Every day ain't great, but we keep on. Brother Tommy, every day, every service, we ain't running laps around the building, but we get to every now and then. But we get to watch you, amen? You've lost some weight. You ought to be able to run 2, 3. I'll be watching. Next time he runs, I'm with him. Amen. Some of y'all ought to jump in there and help us, amen? We're going to run a lap. I don't care if a hair lips the devil, amen? Amen. We ought to continue. Sometimes we come in here, I don't feel like shouting. Sometimes I come in here with a sinus infection. I come in with a headache. My head's going, wah, wah, wah. I don't even want to preach. But I'm going to keep on anyway. Why? Because I know he's worth it. I know you need it. Amen. There's no doubt in my mind. Listen to me. There's no doubt in my mind lost people will walk through that door Sunday morning. No doubt. Happens every week. They'll walk through that door, and if they die just like they are, when they come in, they'll bust hell wide open. Now, do you think we have a responsibility to be spirit-filled? You say, preacher, that's all on you. Uh-uh. You think they're going to get anything out of the service if they happen to sit by you? And they can't watch me for watching you Facebook all the way through church on your phone? I walked through here this afternoon. Ain't more junk in the floor. That tells me what you do in church.
Yeah.
You ought to eat before you get here.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
You ought to eat before you get here.
Yes, sir.
Check your text before you get here. Cut your phone off. I forgot. It's rare that my phone comes in this sanctuary. There is nothing so important. It can't wait till I get out of here. I want to challenge you to do this. Leave it in your car. Just leave it in the car. Cut it off. I know preachers, man. This is their life. You can't even talk to them. You get done preaching a meeting, you're sitting at in a restaurant somewhere, and they're sitting there going, they sit all the way through the service going, I'm thinking, you jackleg. Cut the stupid thing off.
Yeah. Amen.
It's about as distracting as somebody walking here with a boom box on their shoulder.
Yeah.
Y'all wouldn't put up with that 5 minutes, would you? How'd I get off on that? I don't know. I'm telling you, people's lives depend on whether or not we're filled with the Spirit when we come in here.
Amen.
Amen. They ought to look around this room and go, boy, these people sure are enjoying this.
Yeah. Right.
I want some of whatever they got.
Yes, sir.
The pathway to being filled with the Spirit is to connect with God, confess to God, call on God, and continue with God. Just keep going. I had a bad week. That's when you need to go the most. I had a bad day. That's when you need to go the most. It would have been real easy after my day today to have said, Levi's told me two or three times today, oh, if you want to take the night off. You know what he's doing? He's sucking up. I know you're tired. I know you had a bad day, blah, 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 blah. He's trying to tell me, I got something, Daddy. I'm ready to preach. And probably several others would have said, hey, I got something. Fine, preacher, sit down and sit with your wife for a change. Amen. You know, best thing you can do when you don't feel like doing it, go on and do it anyway. Amen. You ever come home on Wednesday night, had a bad day, and you thought, boy, if I go to church, I'm just going to be a hindrance? But you kick yourself in the rear end, make yourself go, and you're on the way home, you're thinking, boy, I'm so glad I went tonight. Amen. What I'm saying is continue with God. Don't quit because things get bad. Keep going. Keep going. God honors that every single time. It's, well, I'm just not enjoying it anymore. God never told you to enjoy it.
That's right.
But he gave you joy for doing it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God didn't say, I want you to work a bus route and you're going to have the time of your life. Yeah. Bus ministry ain't always fun. Right. Oh, it's a blessing when you hear they got saved.
Yeah.
Woo. Yes, amen. But when you hear the bus crunching over a mailbox. Amen. We all been there. Best thing you can do is just keep on, keep on, keep on. I talked to a boy this week. Talked to him on the phone, tempted to call his name. I love him with all my heart. He said, I'll be honest with you, part of the reason I ain't been there is people running their mouth. I said, you idiot.
Amen.
I said, since when have people not been running their mouth? I said, when people are running their mouth, do you know what you need to do? You need to show up anyway and be sitting in your spot and grin like a mule eating briar. And you know what people do? They go, huh, I guess that ain't true. Maybe I better shut my mouth. Amen. I said, best thing you can do for that bunch running their mouths, be in your spot on Sunday morning with a smile on your face. Act like you ain't never missed a service. Here I am. Amen. Got real quiet. Some of y'all must have been running your mouth. I wonder how many of you are sitting there going, I wonder if it's who I've been talking about. Somebody even lied to him. He said, preacher, is it true? Did you say this? I said, no. My mind don't even work that way. Y'all all right? Best thing you can do is go on. Best thing you can do is continue. Keep on doing what you're doing. Amen. The priority of being filled with the Holy Spirit. The pathway of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Lastly, and I'm done, there is a product of being filled with the Holy Spirit. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, it will produce. It will produce. Listen, man. I had a guy pay for it one time. He said, if you'll go to this meeting, I'll pay the way. It's one of our missionaries. I went. And if he hadn't have paid my way, I'd have left the day I got there. I went to a soul-winning clinic. Y'all died on me again. That's the biggest joke I ever saw in my entire life.
Right.
Biggest joke I ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
We ain't got to have no soul-winning clinic. All we got to do is get you full of the power of God. It'll produce.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
That little lady at the well, she didn't go to no soul-winning clinic.
Yeah. Yeah.
She didn't learn the Romans Road. Ain't nothing wrong with the Romans Road, or the John Road, or the Acts Road, or the Mark Road, or the Luke Road. Ain't nothing wrong with none of them roads. They all lead to the same place, Calvary. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's wrong is we're teaching people to serve God in the flesh because the Spirit of God ain't in them.
Yeah.
You want to go to heaven when you die? Sure, say this. Stupidest stuff I've ever seen in my life. Soul winning clinic. What's the first thing I learned? First thing I learned at soul winning clinic. If my wife wears pajamas with legs in them, she's a WHORE. Really? Honest before God. This man walked straight up to me. He was somebody I wanted to meet. He was the bus director. I said, man, I want to meet this guy. I walked up to him, introduced myself. He said, let me ask you a question. before he asked where I was from, before he asked anything. He said, "What's your wife wear to bed?" He don't know me very well. I said, "What's your wife wear in the shower?" So went and clinicked my hind leg. Bunch of garbage. Some of y'all know who I'm talking about, and I don't give a rip. Then started calling me every 6 months. "How many are you baptized? How many had saved?" "I don't know." "But don't you want the award?" "Done got it." "Don't need your engraved ball bat." "Don't need your pen on my lapel." "Baptized 9 million. Stuff make a... Never mind. We get filled with the Spirit of God, it will produce something. It ain't got to be worked up. It ain't got to be clinicked up. Don't get me wrong. I'm not against something encouraging you to witness. I'm not against that. We had Brother Bruce DeLange in here a couple of months ago. He's with the Fellowship Track League. And man, they provided us enough tracks that you could cover this town twice in them. He said, "I want to come by." I said, "Man, I want you to." He said, "I'll take about 5 minutes on Sunday morning." I said, Jack, you got the whole thing." Did he encourage y'all? He encourages me. He calls me about twice a week, and I'm glad he does. He said, "Preacher, do I drive you crazy?" I said, "No, man, I love talking to you. You encourage me." It's a soul-winning machine, brother. Every time I'm with him, I'm like, I want to duck. I ain't lying. And where we go, he leads somebody to the Lord. We in a restaurant. He's over in a corner somewhere with his arm around somebody. And my carnal self was, "Would you hurry up? Our food's here." Back to Acts chapter. I know it ain't spiritual, but I've thought it. We're waiting on him to pray, man. My chicken getting cold. Come on, God, get that dude to pray. He's going to hell, my chicken getting cold. Amen. Acts chapter number 4, verse number 29. Peter said, "Now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all thy boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus." Man, the Spirit of God produces. Look at verse number 13. We've read it already. "Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." The Spirit produces a boldness to witness. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse number 1, the Bible said, "The righteous are as bold as a lion." Now hold on to your seat right there. There is a difference between brashness and hatefulness and boldness.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Boldness simply means courage. It doesn't mean you're mean.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. We preach with boldness.
Yeah.
Amen. I beg God a long time, let me preach to please you and not them.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Before I became the pastor of Happy Valley, I preached for two or three churches that didn't have a pastor. Man, my hands were sweating. You know what I wanted to do? I wanted to please that pulpit committee. I don't give a rip about a pulpit committee. I think they're wicked, to be honest with you. If you got to have a committee to go to somebody else's church and steal their pastor, something's wrong with that. They don't come around here. I'll point them out and let Brother Freddie have them. We ain't teasing. Amen. Brother Freddie will run them off. Amen. Yes, sir. The Spirit produces boldness. Have you ever had the Lord give you boldness to witness?
Amen.
Boldness just means the courage to open your mouth.
Yeah.
Amen. The courage sitting on that airplane to open your mouth and say, "Hey, buddy, you mind if we pray before we take off? Mind if I have a word of prayer?" Brother Tony and I was in a Hampton Inn one time, and there was a biker They were on a big fundraiser. It was a we were in Somerset, Pennsylvania, where Brother Barry is, and they were having a big memorial bike ride for the for 9/11. Because Somerset, just outside of Somerset's where the plane went down in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, and they were having a big ride to commemorate and remember that. And man, that hotel was jam packed. We went down for breakfast that morning. It was probably, and I'm not exaggerating, 250, 300 people crammed within that lobby, the breakfast area, the foyer. I mean, the place was shoulder to shoulder with people. I'm over there getting me a cup of coffee, and Brother Tony walks up, and his eyes is all teared up. And he said, man, pray for me. I said, what's the matter with you? He said, I got to do something. I'm scared to death. I said, what you got to do? He said, I got to speak to these people. I said, I don't know who you are. I ain't lying. Man, Brother Tony stepped up to the end of that breakfast thing there, and he said, hey, can I have everybody's attention just for a minute? And everybody looked up. I'm talking about bikers, man. Leather chaps, do-rags on their head, tattoo. Can I have your attention? Everybody listen up. They thought it was something about the ride, I guess. Everybody looked up. Old Brother Tony started crying. He said, I don't know about y'all, but God sure has been good to me. I've got a good family, and I've got a good wife, and I've got good children, and I've got a good church. And if y'all don't mind, before y'all start this ride and before we eat breakfast, I'd just like to thank God this morning. Some 250 people out of 250, if there was 250, 225 of them said, amen. Mostly them bikers. They lined up, shaking Brother Tony's hand, hugging his neck. I thought, I wish I'd have done that. One of them suckers might give him a Harley, man. You can't ever tell. Boldness, man. That's boldness. The Lord starts dealing with your heart about witnessing somebody. You ought to pray and ask him to give you the Spirit of God to give you boldness. Yeah. Amen. Amen. The Spirit of God produces a bold witness. The Spirit of God produces a steady walk. Amen. A steady walk. I appreciate people that are just consistent. Consistent. I try to pay attention to our people who never complain, never gripe, never have any trouble. Those are the easiest ones to even forget they exist. Always at their post, always doing their job. You know what that is, man? That's steady. Thank God. And that's what the Spirit-filled life will produce. I won't have to wonder if you're going to be here or not. You get full of God, you'll be here. You get full of God, you'll tithe. Amen. You get full of the Lord. Brother, I ain't got to preach on your wallet. Man, God gets your heart. He'll get all of you. Amen. The product of the Spirit of God is a bold witness, a steady walk, and lastly, a divine work. Chapter 4 and verse number 30. I left a bunch out just because I got sidetracked. He said, by stretching forth thine hand to heal. Now, we know that we don't have those gifts today, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. A divine work. Man, when people come and bow in this altar right here, just like Zena did a few weeks ago, she came right there. Am I right, Zena? Wasn't it right there? Right there. She confessed to God she is a sinner and got born again. Right there. That was divine. That means from God. Amen. Are you listening? Man, we ought to take it more serious. Amen. We ought to take it more serious. If there was a guy up here on the platform and he had a big stretcher out here and big lights and all this stuff, and there was somebody laying on that stretcher, and all of a sudden he took a knife and split their chest open, took a saw and sawed that bone open and began to work on their heart. But you could hear a pin drop in this place. Amen. Right? Man, you'd be going, oh, Lord, help that guy, wouldn't you? Performing heart surgery right here in front of us. Man, he's got that guy's heart in his hand. What do you think the Holy Ghost is doing with sinners in here on Sunday morning? It's open heart surgery, man. We ought to take that thing serious. Amen? Let's stand our feet. The Spirit-filled life makes a difference. That's the difference of whether or not people think you're real. I can't judge whether or not you're real by what I see at church, but But I can go talk to people you work with and find out in about 5 minutes. I can get your children along and find out real quick. Children just honest. When Mariana was a baby. I quit doing it. I was scared of what she's going to tell me. I'd ask her questions all the time. I'd say, is your daddy cussing? He gets mad? Yeah. She said, yeah. The thing was, she said, yeah to everything. I said, does your mama cuss too? Yeah. How about your grandmama? Yeah. I mean, you know. Seriously, kids will tell on you. Kids will tell on you. Amen. Like Brother D trying to sell that guy that Jeep that time when this little boy was little. That guy said, how's this thing run? Old D said, boy, it runs great. And old Jared said, daddy, you said that's a piece of junk. Amen. Your kids know whether or not you're real. Your coworkers, your spouse knows whether or not you're real. Well, I tell you what, most of all, inside your heart, you know whether or not you're real. Let's do our best to walk in here prayed up, fessed up, and filled up Sunday morning. Let's not wait to see if the choir's got a good song. I love that song they sung Sunday night. It's Under the Blood. Woo, that cranks my tractor, man. It's under the blood. Thank God, man. The devil comes by and accuses. All I can say is it's under the blood. Let's not wait to see if they got a good song to stir us up. Let's get stirred up before we get here. You ought to pray for them buses on Saturday night. Amen. You ought to pray for the Latours. You ought to pray for Brother Terry and Miss Stacy. You ought to pray for Miss Donna and Brother Clint. These people that ride these buses. You ought to pray for every preacher on every bus. Amen. It's been a while since we had somebody saved before they got here. I'd like to see that happen Sunday morning. Wouldn't that be good? Amen. Amen. Boy, let's come in ready. Let's come in ready. Prayer sheets are on the Lord's Supper table. Come get you one. Let's spend some time in the altar. And we'll be dismissed. Pray till you get done praying. You get done praying, go home. Get a good night's sleep. Amen. I love you guys. Appreciate you being in church. Sorry, Brother William. Forgive me. Don't cuss me.